Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
May 16th, 2006, the Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, camera bags. That's right, we're going to talk a little bit about equipment today. I have in the studio Suzanne Caballero, and she works for LowPro. And LowPro, as you may or may not know, she's going to talk more about it when she comes on, makes some of the finest photography bags available. And I've been working with Suzanne on a different project and discovered that she knew all these photographers and stuff. I go, oh man, we gotta get together and talk about this so that everyone else can hear some of your stories. And that's exactly what I'm going to focus on today. After I do the interview with Suzanne, I'm going to come back on and talk a little bit about some of the things that are going on with the Digital Story right now. We have all sorts of projects that we're in the middle of, including the slideshow showcase. So let's talk with Suzanne first, and she's got all sorts of really interesting things to say. And then I'll come back and we'll take care of some of our camera club business. See you in a few.
Well, thank you very much for having me here today. It's going to be a lot of fun. I love talking about photographers. What LowPro does is we make camera bags for professional photographers and consumer electronics equipment. And you'll also find our bags in places like Best Buy and CompUSA, Circuit City. So we make bags from the small digital point and shoot all the way up to the big 4x5 medium format systems.
Yeah, I remember, I have a couple really beat up LowPro bags. And then I remember when you guys got on the digital bandwagon pretty quickly. You came out with, a D-series of bags, and you came out with little pouches for digital cameras and all that stuff. And they're lined in a way so as not to scratch up the LCD screens and all that. Now, that stuff has really grown for you guys, hasn't it?
Absolutely. It's been a few years, but LowPro's actually known for being the first in the industry to design a camera bag specifically for digital cameras. And we came up and implemented fabrics like brushed tricot lining, which is very soft so it won't scratch LCD screens or lenses.
Yeah, they're fabulous. So, you know, while I was working with you, first thing you did is you showed me this catalog that you guys did, which is just a beautiful catalog. I hadn't seen it before. I usually look at your stuff online. And I noticed on the back, there were just like all these photographers. You just had thumbnail of all these photographers, most of whom I recognize their names. So, I started asking you about a few of them, and it's like you knew almost every one of them. And I go, oh my gosh, we need to talk about photographers. So I thought maybe we could just start out by having you tell me about a couple of your favorite photographers, how you got to know them, and maybe some of your interactions with them.
Sure. One of my jobs at LowPro as the marketing communications manager there is to produce this brochure project that you were just talking about. We do it annually. And we like to say that, most of the pros in the market today are carrying a LowPro bag, and we like to communicate that to the people who maybe may not know or want to emulate what a photographer is doing, and know that if it's good enough for someone like Greg Gorman or Seth Resnick, then it's going to be good enough for them as well. And so those two guys are probably my two favorite guys in the industry, and not because of just their photography, which is absolutely beautiful and spectacular, but also they're great people to be around, and they're inspiring. Greg has workshops all the time up in Mendocino, which is, of course, close to proximity of where we're located. So it's very fortunate for me that I'm able to go up to Mendocino and actually participate and watch some of the seminars that he's doing up there. And it's great. Greg is such a great people person, and he's just so warm and inviting. He makes everybody feel comfortable. And he's even said that, in photography, when he does that, he takes a lot of photographs of celebrities. And while these people are superstars, they still become very insecure when they're in front of a camera. So he has to disarm them and get them to open up. And he's really good at doing that.
Well, you know, this is interesting to me because we were talking before that a lot of times I sort of feel that photographers are somewhat uncomfortable around people. They really love their craft. They really love taking pictures of people. But when they actually have to interact with them, you know, maybe they would rather be behind the lens instead of standing there talking to them. So, and this is a little bit kind of a different sort of thing. Is this something that you see? Are there photographers that, you know, at the level that you're dealing with them, are they very gregarious, or do you see the same sort of cross section that I kind of run into with the everyday shooters?
I think I would say that I see the same sort of cross section that you do. A lot of the photographers that I work with, you know, we become like family, so we become friends. And even though some of them may feel more comfortable just behind the camera and not interacting with people, they still open up in their own way. And it's great to have those interactions.
I bet you one of the ways to get them to open up is really, you know, talk about photography and their pictures in general, and, you know, or the last shoot that they were on or a project that they're really excited about.
Yeah, we also talk about how they're carrying their equipment and where they're going. So if they're backpacking somewhere, they're going on a really exciting trip somewhere. For Greg Gorman, it happens to be, you know, he's loading up lights and really heavy studio equipment, and he's going through airports all the time. So, you know, talking about how they're carrying their equipment, where they're going, and it leads to the shoots that they're going on, which for me, I get to live vicariously through them.
So when you're talking to Greg about equipment and so forth, so what are his requirements? What does he, you know, what does he say? Okay, guys, this is what I have and this is what I need to do. And can you help me, you know, get from point A to point B? How does that conversation go?
Well, Greg was using our equipment long before I even started with the company. And photographers in general always have their own specific ways of what they want. Things that Greg has said to me before is, you know, something that will fit in an overhead because he doesn't want to check it, and something that rolls because it's heavy and he's going from airport to car to airport. And it's important for him to have everything with him at the same time.
Yeah, this is something that I go along with, too. And in fact, we talked about bags that I'm going to review, and one of my requirements was a bag that rolled and that I know would fit in an overhead, because I think a lot of us, we really don't like to be separated from our equipment when we're traveling, not just air, but at any time. We always want to be able to take equipment with us. So having it on a roller and then also having backpack straps and so forth, so that no matter, you know, how I'm traveling at the moment, I can make sure I have my gear with me. And of course, for photographers that do a lot of, you know, kind of in the field stuff, that's okay. But if you got to carry lights and so forth, then you have a whole nother degree. You do have to let go of that stuff. You do have to check it. And you do have to trust that as airport handlers bang it around, it's going to be okay. And I imagine Greg had quite a bit of that stuff too.
Yeah, there's been a couple horror stories of a few things getting, you know, bumped around, and luckily we have a combination of some really durable hard cases and some other rolling cases that so far in my relationship with Greg, I've never heard of anything being broken.
Now I'm dying to know, you know, big time photographer, is he carrying all this stuff himself, or does he have an entourage, or how does that work?
Greg does carry a lot of his own gear, but yes, he also has quite a few assistants that help him out as well.
Yeah, I would imagine he does. So you've been up to his house, and so he likes to do, what, these social gatherings, and maybe where he's showing something he just worked on, or does he do it just for the fun of it, or, you know, what's that mix like there?
Well, the seminar always has one evening where Greg has a meal prepared and everybody sits down and enjoys a nice dinner together. And of course, Greg, most people may or may not know, he's a very big connoisseur of wine. And, you know, me growing up in the wine country, I always thought that I knew a little bit about wine, but Greg really blows me away when with his wine knowledge. But he likes to pair wine and food together. And that in itself is just it's definitely a social, warm environment where everybody gets to interact. And of course, Greg has a beautiful studio next door to his house up in Mendocino, where he will frequently have work from his last shoot. The last time I was up there, he had a Sharon Stone image hanging in his workspace that ended up being on the cover of a Digital Photo Pro magazine in a black and white issue. So I saw it, and then I saw it a few weeks later on the cover. So I got a sneak preview, even though I didn't know it was going to end up that way. So, yeah, you get to see a lot of his stuff. ahead of time.
That's really cool. That's really cool. So are there any of his shots that really jump out at you that you remember that are some of your favorites before we move on? Because there's another photographer I want to talk about, too.
Yeah, he's got quite a few images. There's a Leonardo DiCaprio image that's just unbelievable, that Sharon Stone one. He's got a couple covers of his books that are just, you know, breathtaking images. And of course, he's got Elton John pictures and Johnny Depp and Christian Slater. I mean, you name any celebrity, and Greg's probably taken their photo, if not once, but probably twice.
So now let's go to a completely different kind of photographer, but yet someone that you also are, you know, very fond of and have had a chance to work with, and that's Seth Resnick, right? And so he, of course, he's very much, I think of him more of a field photographer, but someone who also loves teaching photography and really kind of spreading the gospel of, you know, how to become a good photographer, right?
Absolutely. Seth is one of my best buddies in the industry, and he's just a fireball of energy. You know, he says he believes in 26-hour days, and, you know, he's just on the go nonstop. And being around him is really inspiring just in itself to try to absorb some of his energy. But he's really leading the way in teaching digital photography. I've had, you know, photographers, professional photographers that I've worked with on our brochure who are, you know, rock star photographers in their own right who have taken Seth's class because they've made the switch to digital photography, and they're still maybe a little uncomfortable with some of the nuances with it, and they're trying to master that as well. And Seth is, you know, he's a great teacher, he's patient, he's so knowledgeable about everything, and he works with the top pros. You know, he sits on everybody's board, he's an advisor for every manufacturer. You know, he's even helped us design our new Stealth AW digital series, which just came out in February, which was great to work with him on that.
So when you talk to him about bags and so forth, so, you know, how does that conversation go? I mean, what is he looking for? What kind of things does he really want in his equipment storage?
Well, he's the digital guy. So you've got to have a pocket or a pouch or something integrated into every bag. And that's how our Stealth digital series came out. And we have built-in memory card storage that you can actually, even though it's built-in, you can actually remove it. We have removable cable management storage bags. We have photo viewer pockets. You know, so we really loaded this thing up for Seth.
Now I'm getting all excited about this because this is the way I like to shoot too. I like to have a place for everything. I think one of the things about photography, especially when you're working in the field, whether it's a wedding or you're out on a landscape shoot or whatever, you always have to put things back exactly the same place, because the last thing you want to do is when you really need a lens or you need a memory card, you don't want to go fishing around in the bag for it. You need to know exactly where it is. So there's a kind of discipline that happens with always knowing where things go, putting them back there, and then when you reach for them, they're there. But of course, you have to have a bag or you have to have equipment that kind of fits your personality. Now, some people, I would imagine, are sort of big bag people, and, you know, they just sort of want everything there in a center compartment where they can see it all. And then they're kind of what I call the hamsters, which, you know, I'm more in that category. I like having all sorts of little pouches and stuff so that things don't click together. So it sounds like Seth is sort of a hamster type packer himself.
Yeah, I would say that. He likes also to keep his most critical gear with him at all times. So the shoulder bag is great for him. He also carries his laptop in it. And we have, you know, it'll carry up to a 17-inch laptop. So, yeah, he carries about everything that he needs. And then he also takes similar bags to Greg Gorman with the rollers and takes those on the airplane.
Now, this just made me think of something else. Do you have any guess at all about how many bags each of these guys owns?
Oh, it'd probably be in the hundreds. Yeah.
I believe it. I have like, you know, 12 or 13, but that's great. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, since we're talking about bags and since, you know, really bags is your bag, let's talk a little bit about some of the anecdotes that maybe you've encountered with photographers relating to your bags. I mean, you know, I know one thing that every marketing person loves is like a true life testimony with their product. So you must have a couple of those lingering around.
Yeah, we do. We have a couple. And, you know, it's great. It was about the time that I started working at LowPro. I got a phone call from someone in Canada saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. Your bag saved our life. And I said, I'm sorry. can you tell me how our bag saved your life? It seemed a little unreal. But this woman, her name's Brooke McDonald, and she was photographing some seals in a very cold region where there's a lot of ice. I believe she was up in Labrador, and she had taken a camera that her father had given her when she was a young girl, which really turned her on to photography. So it had a special meaning to her. And she'd gone into a camera store, and the gentleman behind the counter had shown her some bags. And she goes, you know, I really want something that's going to roll because I'm a small woman. I can't carry a heavy amount of equipment. I really want something to roll. And the gentleman behind the counter said, I'm sorry, but if you're going to be walking around on ice, you don't want to be rolling something behind you. Let me talk to you about the Low Pro Dry Zone camera bag. And at that point, we had just introduced it. It's the first ever soft-sided, fully waterproof backpack that will float with up to 65 pounds of gear inside of it. So as she's out there on the ice with her backpack, it was really bad weather, and they decided to turn around and walk back towards the aircraft. And as she turned around, she took a step, and she fell through the ice. And usually when you fall through the ice will freeze immediately over your head and you're trapped. Because she was wearing the dry zone and it is buoyant, she popped right back up and she was able to be rescued immediately. And she lost about $10,000 worth of gear around her neck, but everything inside the bag, including that camera her father had given her, was safe, which is truly amazing.
Oh my gosh, yes. And of course, and she's alive, which, you know, on top of that. So the dry zone bag, is that what it is? So it's all weather, so that means obviously, you know, when it's raining and so forth, that your gear is protected inside. But then even if it's goes into water, the gear inside is protected?
Yeah, it is it's a new technology that we introduced. It's similar to what you would use on a dry suit or a wet suit. It's made out of the material that like Zodiac rafts are made out of. So it is completely waterproof. And you can't submerge it and hold it underwater for long periods of time. But if it happens to fall in the river or lake or ocean, wherever you happen to be, with up to 65 pounds of gear, it'll float.
Well, yeah, and that's exactly what I was thinking about for it, because I think one of the hardest trips to pack for is a river raft trip, you know, because I've done everything from ammo cases that are lined with, you know, with carpet to, you know, bags, you know, Pelican, you know, kind of cases that, you know, and they never work quite right. They might be waterproof, but they were very, you know, bulky to carry around, and it was just never quite found that where I had a convenient bag that felt good, but yet that would, you know, if I got dropped into the river, which happens a lot of times when you're river rafting, that I knew my equipment would be okay. So this sounds like this sort of bridges those areas.
Yeah, we actually have three different sizes of the dry zone bag to fit different needs. She happened to be wearing the largest one at the time when she fell in. We have a one smaller, and then we also have what we call our dry zone rover, which is a two-compartment backpack and has a built-in hydration system.
These are fun. Okay, so I got to make sure I come over and play with these real soon. How about, do you have another one? Do you have another experience that has to do with your guys' bags and how it sort of changed the shoot?
Yeah, actually, a gentleman by the name of Michael Yamashita was actually in the far northern region of Japan, and he was on a shoot for Audubon magazine, and they were going across this big ravine and had to swing across. And he volunteered to go first, and he did. And unfortunately, what he was holding on to gave way, and he fell. And I believe it was about an 80-foot drop. And everybody from watching it said they couldn't believe he was even still alive afterwards. But during his fall, he hit quite a few rocks all the way down. And instead of my head hitting the rocks, the bag really cushioned the blow. And when he got to the bottom, he wasn't really hurt. He had a few bumps and bruises, but he was fine. He walked out, and nothing was broken in his bag either.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I gotta know which bag this was here. Do you have any, do you remember what the bag was that he, and was he actually wearing it like a backpacker or in front?
It's our Orion AW backpack. And he was wearing it as a backpack.
Yeah, I know that. Now, that bag's been around for a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's actually one of our oldest backpacks. It's an award-winning backpack as well.
So I wonder if he actually landed on the bag when he, you know, when he made his final, final thing. That's a pretty wild story. That's a pretty wild story. You know, just in general, when you work with photographers, what are some of the themes? I mean, what do they ask a lot of the same questions? Are they interested in a lot of the same things, especially when it comes to, you know, their equipment? Or is it just, are their takes on that as different as the personalities themselves?
I would say overall they're asking very similar questions, but each one of those similar questions is maybe a different way to carry something. So everybody wants to carry their laptop nowadays. Everybody is carrying digital for the most part. They all need memory card storage. They all need a laptop to go with them. But they all have different needs for the way they're carrying. But we work with tons of photographers, and every time we develop a new product, we're always running them by the pros, making sure that we're designing bags that are going to fit the specific needs of what they're carrying.
Now, another thing that came up, and I had always just sort of assumed that you were a photographer when we were talking, because you knew so much about photography and you knew so much about photographers. And then it came up that when you took this job, which has been about, 4 years now, you've been working at LowPro, you weren't a photographer when you came there. And then it sort of seems like, have we rubbed off on you here? What's going on?
Yeah, I will always fondly say that I've always been a spectator of the sport of photography, and I sit on the sidelines and watch everybody else do it. But I had the great opportunity of being able to go to Death Valley in January of this year, and I met John Isaac for the first time, who is an unbelievable photographer, and I was bitten by the bug, and now I'm loving it and having fun with it.
So you're seeing, here you are. You're new to photography. You're working with, I mean, John Isaac. I always think of John Isaac as having a lot of soul. He's one of those photographers that, when I look at his work and from what I know about him, is just, just really comes from a very deep place inside. So you're being exposed to photography at a very high level. Is that intimidating to you? How is it when you go shooting, for instance, with John Isaac?
At first, it was really intimidating to be sharing photos with some of the pros. And what's great is that, they're all very encouraging, and they're all teachers. And so they all have great stories and great recommendations and tips. And, I converted a picture to black and white that I took from that trip, but it was a tip that Greg Gorman had taught me up in Mendocino of how to, convert things to black and white. And I have it hung in my house now, which is exciting.
That is exciting, and that's where the real payoff comes in. Now, a lot of times when I teach photography, I notice that people usually have aptitude in one of the two major areas in photography. One area is the creative side, so some people just have a natural eye for composition, and that part of it's really easy for them. And then other people seem more comfortable with the technical side of photography, figuring out, the right settings and how to see the light and, color balance and all that kind of stuff. And maybe the artistic side doesn't come as easy to them. Have you kind of figured out yet where you fall into that range?
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit more on the technical side, but I'm learning to see things differently. And one of the things that I learned in Death Valley was just to stop and look down or look up, and there are pictures all around you.
Oh, yeah, changing angles all the time and not going with the first thing. Were you ever lucky enough to sort of fall into the zone, that magical place where suddenly you start seeing things that you hadn't, that you wouldn't normally see when you're just walking around?
Yeah, actually, there was one part at when we were out at Zabriskie Point, and it was absolutely amazing to be up there, and you just sat there and you could see, you can be with yourself in the quiet, and then all of a sudden things just start clicking and you start seeing things differently that you had never seen before.
That's especially a magical place at sunset. It's just really beautiful, and you get to see all the textures and the rocks there. Well, one of the things I thought we'd do in the show notes is that maybe you could pick out a few bags that you recommend, you have so many new products right now. I was looking at your stuff, and it wasn't just the old Orion bags that I was sort of familiar with. You have all sorts. So maybe you could do a few staff picks for us, and I could run them on the show notes.
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Thanks, Suzanne. Boy, you know, isn't she great? I'm going to have her back on, you know, maybe in a month or so, because one of the things that we're working on, we're actually working on a project together, and I'm going to have her on, and we're going to do a show about how to pack and prepare for a big trip. And I think regardless of where you're going, whether it be, you know, to Europe or, you know, a driving trip across the U.S., or if you're in Europe and you're coming to the U.S., you know, we got, you know, we have listeners all over the world. That's one of the things. I'm not sure. I'm to me, this is like not a big deal at all, because I'm constantly getting mail from all of you. But in terms of connecting the dots a little bit, we have listeners all through Europe. We have a lot of listeners in Australia. And we have quite a few in Canada and the U.S., and those are the main areas where this camera club is reaching right now. And it's really fascinating. So, you know, a lot of times, you know, if you're a U.S. listener and you hear me sort of talking just in terms of, you know, well, you might be taking a trip to the U.S., it's not that I'm wacky or anything. It's just that I know a whole bunch of you don't live in the States, and it would just be weird if I just, you know, was U.S.-centric all the time, which is just crazy in this day and age. It's one gigantic camera club here, and our fingers reach really all across the globe, and I love that. So I just wanted to take care of a little bit of business here. First, this last week, had one of those unfortunate things that happened on the web, which is the digital story site was attacked by spammers who were, you know, just polluting all of our comments, and they were just hitting them just constantly. I get this little notice whenever a new comment comes onto the show. I get this little bing on my desktop because of the way I have the notification set up. And when they really started pounding us on, I believe, Tuesday, it was just like bing, 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 you know. So at first I tried to go through and just, you know, what I do is I junk those comments, because, you know, the last thing you want to do when you come to the site is, you know, have, you know, find out about the latest drug or worse. So I try to keep those out of there. And then what happened was I was just falling behind. There was no way I could keep up. Someone really had a very organized attack going. So I ended up having to turn off the comments altogether for a few days. I waited till near the end of the week. I think I turned them off on Thursday night and left them off through Saturday, and then you know, turned them back on. So if you happened to come onto the site and wanted to comment at that time, and you couldn't, it wasn't because, you know, we're closed for business. It's just we had to, you know, kind of regroup and figure out how to combat these guys before we turn them back on. Every now and then, if something like this happens, I will turn them off for a day or so until we figure out, you know, how to prevent that particular attack from happening. So if you go to comment and you can't, just remember it's not a long-term thing, it's just a temporary thing. It's, you know, unfortunately, it's life on the web these days, and you know, we just have to adapt the best we can. Comments are back on now, and hopefully I'll be able to leave them on, which leads to, comments are extremely important to me, both through email and on the site itself. And so, you know, we're going to keep doing everything on our end to make sure that we keep the forum open. Part of the whole camera club concept that we have here is, you know, two-way communication. And actually, it's more than two-way, because when you post a comment on the site, it's not only, you know, for me responding to something I talked about, but everyone else gets to read it and think about it also. And, you know, this is the wonderful thing about community. So temporary bump in the road with that. We're back in business right now, and hopefully I'll be able to leave them on for a while. The other thing I want to talk about for a second is the Slideshow Showcase being sponsored by Photomagico, which is made by Boinx Software, B-O-I-N-X. And we're really off to, I think, a nice start with this. There's been a lot of interest. As I look at the server stats for what people are downloading and what pages they're reading. They're reading about the contest. They're going to the pages about the slideshow showcase, actually. And I think the thing that I want to urge you to do while you're working on your slideshow or thinking about what you're going to do is it would be really nice as soon as you have an idea what the working title is going to be to send in an entry form that helps us prepare for all the entries when you're actually going to be sending us the slideshow itself. So as soon as you have your head around what you're going to be talking about and you have some idea about the length and so forth, send in that entry form. Probably a lot of you are saying, well, you know, I'm not really sure what I'm going to call it yet, and I'm not exactly sure how long it's going to be, so I want to wait until I know that before I send in the form. And that, you're right, I would be the same way. So just whenever you get to that point, send in that entry form. We really would like to have all the entry forms in by the end of May, so you still have some time. We're only halfway through the month, but make sure that you keep that on your list. And just so you know, the thing that we're going to do with the showcase is that we really are going to promote the people that have presentations in the showcase, and we're going to send out a press release and really make a big deal about this, because the one thing that I've discovered is that a lot of people are really interested in slideshows, and they really want to look at good quality stuff so that they can improve their own, because we're all sort of figuring out at the same time, this is a great medium for showing off our photography. You know, it brings everything in. It touches so many of the senses. You know, it's visual. You know, you have music. You can have, voiceover. So you can, talk about stuff. It's really, really quite cool. And because we can do things like zoom in on stills and pan and stuff, they have so much more motion than they used to. You know, they're so much more alive. And it's really a wonderful art form to master. So anyway, I just wanted to remind you, keep working. I'm going to keep publishing tips on the site for the slideshow showcase to help you as you're working on stuff and to give you stuff to think about. And if there's anything in particular that you want to know in terms of creating slideshows, make sure you drop me a line or post a comment to one of the tips, and we'll try to work that into the bunch. And finally, as always, I have to say that GrabShots are going great, and I'm probably not running quite as many right now as I normally do because we have all these things going on, but I am definitely going to run a couple a week, so keep them flowing in, and I'll keep publishing them. And, because we got to kind of keep all the plates spinning, right? We just can't get too focused on one or two things. So that'll do it for this week. Lots to think about working on your slideshow. Make sure you go over to the show notes and take a look at Suzanne's picks for camera bags. LowPro's got a lot of cool stuff right now. And I'll put a link on there so you can find a retailer near you to if any of them grab you. And this is not, we're just doing this for fun here. The LowPro's not a sponsor or anything. It's just that we're photographers and we love gear. All right. See you next week. Have a great week shooting, and bye-bye for now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.